Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
G'day, Matt.
How are you, Dan?
Really good. It's the 8th of February.
Yeah. Already.
I know, time's flying. And we're here to have another chat. Episode 4 we're up to.
I like it.
Streaming in 6 countries. I think there was 14 different locations. We've got our merch.
And people already want it.
T-shirts are great. So if anyone wants merchandise, feel free to get in touch with us. We'd love for you to rep the brand.
Send photos in of you repping.
Oh, that would be cool.
The No Time to Be Offended.
Hashtag No Time to Be Offended. We're going to dive into a subject that could trigger some feelings. It could make people feel uncomfortable. And I will admit, I've been feeling uncomfortable leading up to today to confront and talk about this subject. So that says a lot in itself. But it also frames up how people out there in the world probably are, and things like Are You Okay Day are instigators of a conversation about mental health, and suicide prevention is the topic that we're going to talk about today. So for those people that do feel uncomfortable about this topic of suicide prevention, please do turn off the podcast. Alternatively, there is Lifeline 13 11 14, and there's great services out there beyond Blue. The list goes on.
Mates in Construction, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Amazing organisation.
So, Matt, with your training and the people that you work with in construction, I'd like to have you talk about your experiences. I've had a brush with it, with a very close friend, massage therapist, that took his life, and I spoke at his funeral and did his eulogy. There's been some close calls with people that I know that I think, wow, that could go either way. And I know there's also pressures in our lives that we've had some good hard conversations with the powers that be, and we realize what's important in life, and it brings you back from that precipice. We've experienced those types of black dog type feelings at times, and we want to talk about this subject because it's one of the biggest killers in Australia and around the world with all the pressures of the world that's going on right now.
Last year, 2024, keeping with what you said, a guy that I'd actually worked with for many years in the construction industry, he took his own life, and that was such a shock to me that happened. And I gave his eulogy, being in front of that congregation of people, his partner, his son, brother, other workmates there, and seeing his coffin there, and then trying to find the words to express what I felt about him, to lose him so soon in life. It's very difficult to try to sum up in words when you're saying goodbye in those circumstances. And then a year before that, actually one of the participants in one of the programs that I was running, he took his own life, and I did the same thing. And he left behind 3 small children, a partner. And that was just, it's excruciating to understand that. Now, why I suggested this subject was because only in the last few weeks we've had 3 high-profile young men, I say young men, who have unfortunately taken the road of no return. I said, Dan, we really need to talk about this and to tackle this. Before we do these podcasts, we always do our homework. The figures we're talking about here in Australia are so stark and so confronting. I was shocked. So, for instance, In Australia, we spend billions, and so we should, on road safety. Okay, we should, no problem. Television ads, we've got police out on the highways, as they should be, unmarked cars. We've got speed cameras hidden in trees. We've got drones now. We've got cameras on overpasses and checking all of that. And they say because every kilometre over is a killer. I'm not arguing with that. That's fair enough. So we're spending all of this, so serious. Fair enough. In 2024, there was approximately 940, 950 men that died on our roads. Now, that's all men of all different ages, but under 1,000, okay? And we've tackled that. We're really going and educating people about the risk factors involved, drink driving and not driving fatigued and not being distracted. And in the same year, there was just under 2,000 500 men, and most of those were under 40 that died. I didn't know that. So for all of that, getting close to triple the amount, and for men under 40, it is, as you said, the leading cause of death. This is people in their prime. There is exponential growth in suicide among men under 40, and it's growing at 15% a year. So 2023 to 2024 was a 15% growth. This conversation is about saying we have a problem. One thing that, one experience I want to tell you about, Dan, is that I actually had, I had to go to therapy for quite some time because I had, this is my diagnosis, not the psychologist's diagnosis, but I had a form of survivor guilt. Okay, I was a teenager and I was with my mates and we were doing stupid things as you do. We're at an unpatrolled beach, and I was there was three of us,
okay.
And so we just went out into the water, you know, having a good time, and I got caught in a rip, dragged right out, and one of my mates, Paul, who was a bit older, maybe he was, no, rough guess, 22, something like that. He happened to be on the beach, and then he saw me, and he swam out, and he brought me back. And I'd been out there for a little while, and I was getting very, very tired. And if he didn't come and rescue me, I would have died, 100%. Paul grabbed me back in. Anyway, that was cool. I was just so grateful to Paul. We'd been best mates. Anyway. Paul married one of my best mates' family, you know, sister, and they got married, had two small kids, and then for no reason, like there was no reason given to the family, no history of any mental illness or drug abuse or anything like that. Everything was going well, business was going well. He took his own life. And I felt so guilty that I was not, I wasn't there for him. I didn't know. You know, I felt so bad. And every time I think of, even when my daughter was born, I always thought of Paul, that if it wasn't for him to save me, for instance, she wouldn't be, well, I wouldn't have made it. And that was the first time that I had experienced loss like that. And I suppressed it because I didn't know how to put it. What box does that go in?
How do you think the wife and kids would have felt?
Traumatized.
We hear things like, it's such a selfish act, taking your own life. People think, you know, how dare you? Now you've left me with all the problems and the kids and the mortgage and not, you know, you've gone, you've disappeared. Poof.
There's a lot of guilt. But see, that's something we need to talk about, Dan. There's so much guilt and shame about that. Now, as I said, I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist.
Not am I.
Yeah. There's so much guilt that we've got about that, that we're not daring to confront it. Yes, we're willing to say the consequences of that behaviour are catastrophic, but what is it? What did we miss? What have we missed?
Yeah, I think that's the fundamental thing, and that's why Are You Okay Day is, you know, a symbolic thing. I think it's the 24th of September.
Yeah,
the day that's coming up to make people, remind them that. It starts with a conversation, and it starts by asking someone else how are they going, because they may not be okay, but they're covering it up. Men don't want to go around and whinge and moan and complain, because you might look like a pussy, or you don't look like as though you're managing your own life admin, or you're not strong, you're weak. And by being vulnerable and opening up and sharing your thoughts, men probably feel that that's their problem to solve, not other people's problem to solve. Why put your luggage and baggage onto other people to try and unpack and piece you back together, put you on the right path? My experience with Jade, my massage therapist, I think I've mentioned this a few times, I've got a very bad back. I had my back fused with 4 screws and a reshaped disc, and my back needed a massage therapist regularly. Once a month, okay. I'd go and see him for an hour and a half. For a long time, for years, and not once did I ask him, "Are you okay, mate?" And when I stood up, there was only 2 people that spoke at his funeral, which was a packed room.
So there was a lot of people in attendance?
Every seat was full, right the way around the boundary of the room and out into the street, people looking into through the windows. I felt compelled to get up and say something. And when his coffin was right there, I faced the coffin and said, "I wish that I'd asked you, many times when I was lying there whinging and complaining about my life and, poor woe is me, victim me, about all the stuff I'm going through in business and that, this and that, and this and that, my bad back, and I'm getting old and I'm not as young and as fit as I used to be and I can't do the things I used to do and blah, blah, blah." Never once did I turn around to the guy who's massaging my back and say, "Mate, so what's going on with you? How are you? How's your life?" And I wish that I did do that. I could have changed the course of history. So for me, that was that kind of frustrating moment of saying, why didn't I say something? Why didn't I ask him, how's he going? But equally, you then start to go through and unpack going, what did I miss?
Yeah.
Were his, his artwork, which is amazing, he's a fantastic artist, you look at his art and it'd be quite dark, right. Some of the subjects, and there's monsters and there's dragons and there's, damsels needing to be saved and
right.
Really out there, abstract, weird, almost kind of, you think you must have been on ketamine or something like that to be able to think these subjects up in the paintings. But equally, he was a bit of a party boy and all that, and he was the center of attention. He would just be the life of the party. Everyone loved him. But why would he take his own life? Right. So at the wake, is it called a wake when you all get together afterwards? And I've since then met many of those people who were now friends of Jade. And we check in on each other, and even my little writing crew, everyone checks on each other, and it's fantastic to have men having conversations. And it's been a really delightful surprise with these writing events. I rode for 70Ks this morning with my crew, Sage, Dave Greenwood, the list goes on. And we all sit down and have a coffee and a chat, and that's one of the nice surprises that's come out of riding bicycles. And we're middle-aged men in lycra,
the mammals,
sitting around lycra drinking small coffee. But equally, I just went to Carindale Shopping Centre and we walked past a table of 6 to 7 old gentlemen. They look retired, but they've got together for a cup of coffee. Had lunch at the Pig and Whistle on Thursday, and at the table next to me, what looked like 8 retired businessmen were all sitting around just having a great time talking. And I think it's fantastic that men talk. It starts with a conversation. And, you don't need to be the therapist. You don't need to have a psychology degree on the wall. It starts with a simple conversation of, are you okay? But also, everyone's life is not perfect, right?
No.
And days, you go through grey days and bright sunny days and everything's going really good, and then for some reason something can happen. And whether it's job-related, friends-related, you've done something silly, you've made the wrong decision, loss of face, embarrassment, none of those things should be enough for you to feel like as though you're going to end it all. Mm. But there are people out there that you can talk to, and it should be the people that are close to you that you feel comfortable with. And hopefully, if you don't have that circle of friends like my riding crew, etc., that you know, it's great to go out there and into society, become members of a club, a walking club. I know there's men's walks in the park.
I see them at Wynnum, actually, for those in Brizzy. I see them at Wynnum walking along the foreshore, which is amazing.
Advocate, just getting out there, meeting some other people. Ask them, you know, be curious about their life. They'll be curious about yours and they'll check in on you. Same as your neighbours. Just check in on them, make sure they're doing okay. And, you know, that's that sense of community. It's those little tiny things that add up to make sure you've at least given that person a chance to share their feelings and thinking to mitigate the risk of something terrible happening.
I think also, Dan, is that the way that we're raised, how we raise boys, we are very, I mean, I'm a father of a young woman, so I want her to experience life in all ways. So if she wants to do horse riding, she wants to ride a motorbike, if she wants to do karate, if she wants to do singing, but that's okay, because it's like, well, I want her to experience everything and she can pick and choose. And we are like, well, you know, she's a young woman, my wife and I will say, she'll find what she likes, so she can try different things. But I just wonder whether we do that with boys. And also growing up in, like, I never saw my dad cry. No way. He got angry sometimes, but never cried.
That generation.
Oh, no way in the world. And no matter how sick he was, he went to work. You know what I mean? He was hard. Now, that's fine. But the stereotype, the model that we've got for men, is the heroes. You know what? They got one arm hanging off. You know, been shot 25 times, and they're still coming like the Terminator, and nothing can. You know, and we're like, you're weak. You're gutless. If you're like, guess what? I'm stressed. Mm. What do you mean? Just get on with it. Get on with what?
Yep.
When the fact is this, we are human. We have emotions, okay? And in many ways, we've demonized emotions to be, well, the worst thing imaginable would be to have a boy that was fearful or wasn't willing to take on the world like little Tarzan or something. So we're setting the roadmap of apparent success based on being disconnected from a whole heap of emotions. And I think that, well, what happens when life, like you said, you have a really bad day or you have a really bad few years. If you're running a business, I have for many years, guess what? There is some financial years where you're like, why do I
farmers
do it? Farmers, exactly.
It can be a drought.
Absolutely.
You can't do anything about it.
They're best like, or they've got the
locusts.
Opposite. Absolutely. Floods and...
Floods.
You know, it sounds like a Banjo Patterson thing, but it's...
Did you see that movie that came out just recently? I think version 2 came out just recently about every character was an emotion.
Yeah.
One was anxiety.
Oh, yes,
one
I've seen that.
Sad,
yeah, definitely.
One was anger. One was intimidation. And
was that a Disney one or a Pixar
or
one of them Pixar?
Like that.
Yeah.
But that exposure of revealing to our younger audience in particular, I believe that's the one reason why they cancelled, like made it a rule in Australia that kids under 16 can't have social media.
Yeah.
Because the trolls, the people out there, were telling people really bad things.
Terrible.
Young girls being told, go and kill yourself.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't have been born, and terrible, terrible things to these young people that they then go and kill themselves. They take their own lives.
Yep. But doesn't that come back to the foundations of our society? What a successful boy is meant to be like, or, you know, especially boys, because they're the ones at the moment who are, they're the canaries in the coal mine. If they are, as we said, there's a exponential growth in self-harm. And on the outward looking, they've got support, family, friends, they might be charismatic, they've got, gone to a good school. All you'd think, oh, what have you got to worry about, mate? I mean, you're ticking all those boxes.
Could be the most successful kid in the school.
Yeah, and right. And then so we must be, as a society, not individually, but as a society, if we are setting up these men for failure. Because if it's growing, it's saying that whatever we've done previously not only didn't work, it's got those consequences. So now if we don't want that to be next year 16% growth or 17 or so forth, we really need...
Well, we're not trying to create a nanny state. We're not saying don't strive for success or shoot
for the
moon.
No, definitely not.
Or break boundaries and achieve things that are on the final frontier of human possibility. It does start with a conversation, though, and even, you know, you've seen TV ads just recently where the father is walking down the street with his son and the son's on the social media on Facebook or something like that, and he's being bombarded by messages and being influenced by what he's seeing in a negative way. And it's that moment where the dad says, "You all right, son?" You know, and it's right there. It's then that moment of saying, "Matt, how are you going? Mm. How you been? Noticed you're a bit glum last week. Is everything all right?" And just create that space and open it up. As an individual, if you are feeling a bit glum and a bit grey and a bit dark...
We all do at times, that's for sure.
We've talked in previous podcasts, but I've learning those techniques of changing your physical situation. Move yourself from that room. Motion follows motion. But equally, if you see that you have a pattern where you have a good day and a bad day, or, for example, after my deep dive workshops and I've given my all, given the room my all, my thinking, I've been on point for 4 hours, holding the attention and the energy in the room for 4 hours, I know that I'm going to crash. And so I've learnt that, and I need to remove myself from being around other people and go and meditate or do something just to settle down and regulate myself. Another example would be, you know, if you are feeling like as though you're burnt out, because you do. Some days you just going, and you just go, you know what, I've been going. I need to actually carve out some white space in my diary and just have a day off. Some mental health, some life admin, do your washing, clean your car, mow the grass, and you get a sense of achievement, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of worth. One of the previous episodes I talked about, you know, feeling like I couldn't get out of bed one morning. Yeah. And then I decided I'd go and do something. And I went and gave my dad a haircut. And that gave me some value. And all of a sudden that changed my day. And the perspective of the lens that I was looking at life through changed. And so it can be that there's these tiny little tips and techniques that quite often are not taught, not told, and passed down to the next generation so that they can manage their own feelings. And I wish that was communicated more broadly. Right. That there's a saying that you should never identify with depression. I am not angry. I am not anxious. I am not sad. It's a feeling that's flowing through you, and this too shall pass. So I am not angry, but I can see that I have anger flowing through me, but it's not me. It's just,
it's not a permanent state.
It'll pass. And it's funny to watch how, if you see it, and I think that's what anger management classes are all about, you can see why you're getting triggered, so at least you've identified it at that moment, and then work out, what am I going to do about that? Am I going to pick myself up and leave the room? Otherwise, I'm going to punch someone in the face and argue and make it worse for that relationship. It's not helping you. It's not doing you any favours. So any of those trigger moments, or even putting yourself in that situation, if you can be aware of it and learn that by even exposing yourself to an environment, if it's, you know, putting yourself into a situation where you're going to be drinking alcohol or doing drugs or whatever those things are, why are you looking for that high? Because you're looking for it because you're wanting to fill a gap in you? Are you looking for happiness? I'm looking for self-worth. I'm looking for love. I'm looking for attention because I change into this person that is the center of attention. But really, what's the source of that? Why did you want that to begin with? And, you know, like I said before we came on air, self-sabotage is a really interesting starting point. You know, these little minor cuts, your ego is trying to save you from being harmed by saying, don't put yourself out there, you're going to get pulled down. You know, tall puppy syndrome, people are going to pick on you. But really, the self-sabotage is stopping you from going and achieving what you really do want to get out of that comfort zone and put yourself out there, because you get a buzz out. Oh my God, look what I just did. Look at us putting a podcast together.
Yeah, it was scary.
So yes, there's pressures of people in life. There's expectations as these kids are growing up, men, young men, of what are you going to go at? Are you going to go to university? Are you going to get a degree? Are you going to get a job in the big city? Are you going to have the picket fence with the two cars and the 3.5 kids and the perfect life? Well, look at the cost of living. Look at what things are worth. I mean, you need to be earning 80 to 100 grand a year just to cover the basics.
Yeah, that's basic stuff.
Socializing, the young kids, we personally, we grow up in Gen X, where you're expected to look people in the eye and have a conversation with them and shake their hand. And instead of sitting behind an email, which is very easy to type an email and press send, actually go and sit down and talk with someone. I mean, you joked, we have physical meetups, Dan. Can you believe it? It's a fact that the Gen Ys, when you employ them, you're actually encouraging them to pick up the phone and call the client and speak to them rather than just write an email. Rather than sit there all day and just type emails all day, go and organize a catch-up and a talk. We talked about this with my trip to Toowoomba, right?
So what you're saying, which I totally agree with, is that where we've got layering. So I believe our roles, what a man's meant to be, tough on the hell up, boys don't cry, you just be a warrior, alpha male, you know, as I say, walking like you've got, what is it?
Well, fathers have a lot to be responsible for.
Mm.
Whether you've got a daughter, or I've got two boys, they reflect and take on board, and they see us as a role model.
Yep.
But also, we're a walking billboard of either what not to do or what to do.
Correct.
And, you know, 99% of the time, your young boys look at you, and we did it with our parents, of saying, oh, well, I've learnt the flaws, I've seen the strengths and weaknesses, I'll learn from that, and then I'll apply that and be a better version of that.
And as a parent, I would say, own your mistakes. If you have made a mistake, I will say to my daughter, I will say to my wife, yeah, guess what? I made a mistake.
It's that how you pick yourself back up.
Yeah, exactly.
And saying sorry and owning it.
Absolutely.
And these are all really good examples of what to
and
teach
trying to
your,
do better.
Yeah. Teach your kids. You know, talked about the paper plane throwing competition, how we got them out from off their iPads and shaking hands and doing deals and getting discounts for our competition in the park throwing paper planes. The same thing they've seen me as a managing director of a small business, having a go, having a crack. I have dark days. It's not easy. No, it is not.
Definitely not.
Not easy. And I look back now, all the learnings and the experiences and the things that would never have happened if I was a PAYG employee. Is it a much safer route? The route that I've taken is the path less traveled, and it's got rocky hills and valleys and things that are wanting to try and kill me and eat me. But that confronting the fear and getting out of your comfort zone is also expressing to my boys, and I think somewhat of the reason why Nate has gone and flown to Chicago and confront his fears, because he knew nothing about that world. We didn't. But that's an example of him seeing me and going, well, I want to be like you. I want to go out there and create a great story to my life.
And resilience. That's one of the things that...
And learning.
Resilience is...
You don't lose, you learn.
Exactly. And also we've spoken about this before, but someone as an educator, we really focus on the EQ, the emotional intelligence.
I was going to bring that up, emotional intelligence.
And resilience.
Yeah.
And I think this not having this connection to people, and I don't mean just on the football field. That's cool. That's good to participate in a team sport. That's wonderful. That's great. But to, like you said, to go out and to be with different people, different age groups, men, women, different backgrounds, different walks of life, different experiences, to realise that there's different ways of living the same life in our community, in this neighbourhood here. People are living their own expression of life. Mm. So resilience is also, like you said, I'm the same way, I'm been self-employed for forever, is every day is a new adventure. It's changing constantly. And so I wonder, when it comes to men's, young men's inability to cope with whatever the change is, I don't know what it might be on the individual basis, change of relationship, change of their work.
How are they looking at that change in that situation? Are they looking at it like curiosity, or are they looking at it like, I'm losing something here? Mm. You've heard about gratitude stacking, where it literally starts with, I'm alive.
Can you explain a little
bit of that?
You start
stacking one thing on top of each other until you realise that you're feeling better. Start with, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I can see, I can hear, I can taste the senses, the fact that I am not in pain right now, I am in a safe place, I ate breakfast this morning, we have a wonderful country that we live in.
We do.
We have amazing services for, police force, the fireys, the doctors, the amount of medicine that's available to us. If anything goes wrong, within 15 minutes, an ambulance will be here. Hopefully the hospital ramping isn't a problem at the time, but you literally start gratitude stacking. The attitude is gratitude is the best way to start if you're in a funk, to take yourself out of that negative space. But that takes a perspective of seeing something that you're going, oh, I feel like I've lost something. I feel like I'm in deficit. And then equally, if you look at, in America, they drill you. If you're not first, you're nowhere. There's first and there's nothing.
Sounds like Talladega Nights.
So, can you imagine the pressure on football players and, the Super Bowl's coming up on Monday. They're either going to walk away with the ring and Taylor Swift's going to go and dance up and down that they won.
No comment.
Or, the Eagles will win and the underdogs will walk home with a ring on their finger and the other people will just be forgotten. Who is the other team? So the point I want to make is, in winning, it's humble in victory and graceful in defeat. Is that the saying?
Yeah, I think it so.
Is. I'm watching these surfers that are competing right now at Pipeline, and I'm loving to see the camaraderie in the heats. These guys are going into battle, the best surfers in the world. Baron Mamir just beat John Florence, the world's number one current ranking, the yellow jersey leader. But because they grew up on the North Shore, they're so happy that they've got Pipeline at 10 foot and it's glassy and offshore and it's finally on and they get to demonstrate their skills, that it's not dog-eat-dog battle anymore. In fact, they come in and they're giving each other hugs, and the old surfers, Tom Carroll, they're on the beach and they're just stoked, and that starts with gratitude. How fantastic is it that Pipeline's firing and we're all here together and the sun is shining? It starts with...
I love it.
That's gratitude. Now, yes, John just got knocked out. He's the world's number one. He's walking up the beach going, mate, so stoked for you, Baron. Go on and win it. Win it a second time. Which he won it first time, last time. So I think it's through the eyes that you look at the lens of life. And if you can start with gratitude and be appreciative of the most basic things, and then after a while you go, it isn't so dark. Debriefing, life debriefing.
Absolutely.
After every event, there's, what was the original objective? What result did we set out to achieve? If we had our time again, what could we do better? And, what were the things that we learnt from that experience? The other thing I wanted to add is, if you're in that funk and you're identifying thoughts and feelings going through your mind, I've been taught to ask the question, do you know that to be true? If you're thinking about if you think about the world as the it's going to end back to suicide, and if you think that someone's going to crush you or tomorrow isn't worth facing, that feeling and that thought, that fear that makes you think that that's going to happen, whatever that thing is, ask yourself, stop and think, is that true? Is there evidence to prove that that is actually going to happen? The second thing is to ask, could there be another alternative? Could there possibly be some other way that something else might happen? And of course, your answer to that is, of course, yes, something else might happen. And if there is any faith and belief that something else might happen, isn't it worthwhile being curious to find out what might happen rather than option one?
Start coming back, is there?
So it starts with that. You know, I think my mum says there's no point being dead for the rest of your life.
I like that.
So it's those little techniques that I've learned and I've picked up because I've gone through some dark times. There's another technique which we learnt is managing your ego. Your ego, whilst everyone's got one, and it's done a very, very good job to help you get to where you are in life, so you have to respect it. You have to respect that your ego exists and it's been steering you in different directions, and in some ways, you know, it's excelled you, made you successful, but at times it's also potentially holding you back because it's telling you there's a more comfortable way. Stay in the comfort zone. Don't put yourself out there. It's dangerous. There's a little saying, I recognize that you're there. Thank you, ego, but I'm not playing that game anymore.
Oh, I like it.
I'm in control now. We're not playing by your terms. I thank and respect that you're there, but we're not playing that game anymore. And as soon as you recognize it and you know it's there, it goes back in its box. It's no longer in control.
So that's the self-limiting beliefs coming into play.
Empowerment. So you control the reins of your thoughts and feelings. So that could be these techniques and tips that if we share them on this podcast, other people might pick those things up when they're feeling dark, or should I walk out on stage in front of 100 people at the Empire Hotel, like 400 that I walked out on stage and did my keynote speak for half an hour. Of course, my ego is going, oh, they're going to laugh at you. And what if you say the wrong things? And what if you forget your line? In fact, I did. A question from the audience said, what was the second thing you said? And I went completely blank and I was shitting myself, sweating bullets. And then someone else in the crowd said, significance. And I went, oh, yeah, thank you so much. So that's, you know, the ego is something you have to manage, and you'll always have to manage it because it always exists and we've all got one. And putting ourselves out here on this podcast, for example, we're having to manage our ego of what are people going to say? They're going to think we're idiots, you know. Do we have anything to share that's worthy?
It is about us playing our part in sounding the alarm. Mm-hmm. Because what's been happening cannot continue to go on. We just can't. Lives are precious. So this conversation is part of a bigger conversation. As I said, it's the amount of young men that are passing away, as I said, 2024, just under 2,500. That is the canary in the coal mine, and it's getting worse. So we are just starting that conversation. There'll be people who are experts in trauma, in depression, in those fields of mental health and so forth. That is, and they are doing an amazing job. But as I said, governments really need to, at the very least, support organisations like Beyond Blue and Mates in Construction and all the rest that that are doing that amazing work. They would say, and I've spoken to them, they need more funding to do what they're doing.
Even leaders, teachers in the school. My kids, both my boys, had this one teacher, maths teacher, Miss Fonsgaard. I stopped and wrote her a letter yesterday to say, I hope people stop and tell you how wonderful you are as a teacher. And I hope that you maintain your health, your vitality and your energy to continue for many more years. After my son Gabe finishes year 12, Nate's finished, he's overseas right now. She's done such a fantastic job, and the effort that she goes to be an amazing teacher, it helps inspire my boys to be on the right track, to go on and achieve great results. Teachers, leaders in the community, adults, parents, we've all got a responsibility to see someone in the community that needs to stop and say, are you okay, mate? And have a conversation. It starts at that top layer, because each year another set of generation people are being born and we all grow up. And I think it's more and more it's being accepted to be vulnerable and to show your thoughts and fears, and don't be that iron shield robot. We talked about resilience before. Yes, resilience is so important to be able to pick yourself up when you get knocked down. And we're going to talk more about that, because I know that you have with your bad back and your learnings in life. And cancer with your prostate being taken out. That's radical. Myself with my bad back, and I've had malaria and chicken pox and got stranded on an island with a tsunami that's hit our boat and we had got shipwrecked on an island. The fears and all those things that have been pushing us to a point of like, oh my God, what's tomorrow going to be like? Being able to bounce back from that is part of that amazing story of life and the learnings that come from that. So the sun will come up tomorrow. Another day will be dawn and break. And we just hope that the people that are going through troubles, that they do ring 13, 11, 14, get some help from experts, not us. Now we're getting close to an hour.
We are, but that's it.
Yeah, so I think we've covered a few things off. I think we've shared some of our stories that are real. We've given some tips and techniques to manage our thoughts and feelings. We've talked about the identification of the importance of leadership. But anyway, it's small steps, and it starts with you. And we hope that you've got something out of this podcast episode 4.
Thank you very much. And we're thinking sending lots of love, unconditional love to all who have been affected by this subject.
Okay. All the best out there.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.